Welcome back to part two of Constructive Conversations podcast with legendary gold miner Dave Turin. We're going to jump back in right where we left off in part one. So
well, thank you.
Very honored to have you on today's episode.
Here, let me share real quick. Let me share an example of, my leadership with my children and leading them. I always encourage my kids to be an entrepreneur and, start their own business. And because I always told them, I said, that's somewhat freedom. Sometimes it can be, you can be tied to your business, but it's also freedom that you can build. And so my son, I said, has three, offices. He's an optometrist. My daughter owns a women's boutique shop, sells clothing. But this is how it trickles down. So my grandson, Micaiah is his name. He's the one that's been on the show with me. His freshman year, he took an entrepreneur class. And in the entrepreneur class and business class, they asked him to do a report on a franchise. So he did a franchise report on Jamba Juice. And my son and his wife read it, and they're like, well, that's pretty interesting. They talked about it, and they challenged Micaiah, hey, what do you think about this? And he goes, well, there was an assignment. And my son, Tony, looks at him and goes, you think it's something you'd want to do? Anyway, they worked it out. They opened a Jamba Juice, and they made him work to do 5% of the ownership. Mm-hmm. And then the second year, they said, if you work, you get another 5%. So right now he's 10% owner of a successful, this is going on their second year, almost. Yeah. They've been over a year, about a year and a half now. So now he's 10% owner of and he's 16 years old.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he learned how to manage. He learned how to, open a business, and he was also helping in the, doing the fixes and fixing up the renovations of the office space.
That's great parenting. That is the epitome of teach a man to fish and he eats for life.
Yeah.
He learns so much through that. I commend them for that.
Yeah. I'm pretty proud of them, both of them. It's pretty cool.
That's awesome. So a couple more things I wanted to ask you. As I mentioned to you earlier, West Virginia is known for mining, but we're mining black gold. And as part of that mining, there's reclamation that goes along with that. And we've seen some really beautiful things built that have came out of mine reclamation, such as golf courses and hospitals and schools. In your years of mining and reclamation, what's the neatest thing that you've seen rebuilt?
I love to golf, by the way, and I've seen some very cool golf courses in old quarries. Mm-hmm. I've seen, there's one in Montana, and they used black sand from one of the foundries, and they crushed the black sand up, and they had black sand bunkers.
Wow.
I've seen beautiful parks around Oregon. There's a lot of sand and gravel, and even in like Reno, Nevada, there's a golf course and also a beautiful park with a lake around it. And people don't realize that was where they dug gravel out of. And now it's, it's home sites, it's parks. In West Virginia, some of the parks that you have were on an old coal mine. And so the reclamation is always been dear to my heart, and I've always tried to reclaim. Nobody will know this, but one of my proudest moments was when we were in Guyana, South America. We mined a couple sites, and we were packing up to leave, and everybody was ready to go. And I said, I can't leave. And they're like, what do you mean? I said, I got to go reclaim those sites. And there was some pushback, and I said, I don't care. I just, for me personally, I want to do that. Yeah. And so one of the other guys on the crew and myself took, and it wasn't, we didn't get a lot of we didn't dig it real big. And it took 3, 4, 5 days of our own time. And they didn't even film it. I just had to do it. So I was very proud of that. And when we walked away, I took pictures. They're in my own archives, and I'm proud of that.
Yeah.
Same thing in the Yukon. In the Yukon, it was really fun because people don't realize it, but your reclamation, then the very next year, you can see the results of your reclamation because you've got 24 hours of daylight from June to August. And that soil is the, you know, that permafrost, once the moisture comes out of it, it is rich with spores and seeds and nutrients and things just go like that. So you can come back the next year and by September, your reclamation is like phenomenal. Yeah. Everything's growing. There's flowers, there's things going. And so, you know, I always pushed real hard to do the reclamation, but the reclamation never made TV because it's not sexy.
Yeah.
It doesn't make anybody any money.
Yeah.
There's no gold involved. It's just, it's hard, monotonous work. So they did not like to show it, but I always pushed for them to film it because I always felt like in the end, somebody's going to want to know whether we reclaimed or not.
Yeah. 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 I mean, and we do some work for some mining operations. And that's one thing that you probably, if you're thinking about mining, you don't think about the costs of mining reclamation at the end of the job. After all the coal is mined and sold and the revenues are in, but then there's still that liability for mine reclamation at the end of it when the lease is up or whatever.
Yeah, I think there's too many companies. I don't know how to say this the right way, but I learned that you look at what you want at the end before you start. For instance, I know there's gold in this spot, but before I start digging dirt, I need to know where I'm going to put the dirt because the topsoil is very valuable. Without the topsoil, and if you bury it, you can't get it back, right? So I always looked at a project like I'm going to mine this. I know where the gold's going to be, but where do I put the topsoil, which I need, and keep it alive? Because you think about it, it's got all the critters in there. It's got all the nutrients. It's got everything that you need for that to come back. So I always thought that was my first thing is like, where do I keep and store the topsoil so that that can come back the very last thing and I still have access to it? Because, you know, you can shape and contour and do all that, but without that topsoil, that's expensive. So I always looked at it in reverse. I didn't just look where the gold is. I looked at where can I store the things that I'm going to need in the end.
So over the years, you've worked with numerous people. Who are some of the people that you still keep in contact with? And are any of them still actively mining for gold today?
Yeah, Juan Ibarra is a good friend. Freddie Dodge, I still keep in contact with. On my crew, Jason Sanchez. And he's not mining for gold. He started his own company. And then Nathan Clark, he was our mechanic on Dave Turner's Lost Mine. He actually started a media company. He started, you know, once we left Alaska and they didn't, I offered it to them. They didn't take it. But Nate went to work as his own business, repairing heavy equipment, and then he went into doing videos, and he helps corporations, and he, you know, he records video for people. And then who else? I see Mitch every once in a while. Every once in a while I'll see Todd because we live in the same town. So that's, I guess that's about it. I'm still friends with a couple of the producers that I became close with. I'm working on a project with one of the producers after they canceled America's Backyard Gold. We pitched a show to some networks and it never stuck. I think cable networks are on the way out. Young people don't watch cable networks. It's becoming, you know, in our heyday, we'd have 8 million people watch Gold Rush on a Friday night. And now they're lucky to get 600,000, 700,000 people. Huge, huge amount of people leaving cable networks. And I believe it's the live streaming. And so we're working on a project to bring gold and history, patriotism. And so we're working on a project to take that to live streaming.
Yeah, I'm excited. You told me about this project before, and I'm excited to see the fruits of it whenever it's available to view. So
I'll keep you posted.
I definitely have to keep
you posted. You could blast it out. Help me blast it out there.
That'd be great. I definitely will. So you'd mentioned earlier where all you traveled in your early years of engineering. You're looking to see where you wanted to work, and then got brought back to Oregon with the family quarry. But also with your mining, you've been all over the place. Where are some of the most memorable places you've been to mine?
I guess the most memorable would be South America, because it's so foreign. I learned a lot in South America. We were in Guyana. I was there over 6 months. Probably one of the hardest, most difficult places I've ever been. Not just the mining, but the people, the humidity, the culture, being in a third world country, you know, no air conditioning, those basics that we have in America. I think everybody should go to a third world country and just live for a while to understand how the majority of the world is. Mm-hmm. You know, I came back from that, I'll never forget. And I was so annoyed with people that thought they had a right to air conditioning, or thought they have a right to have ice cubes in their drink. And I felt like, you know, we're so pampered, because coming back from that, it was kind of a survival thing. And, you know, I could have walked away and said, you know, whatever, but I signed up for it. I thought it was a very poor choice. Todd made that choice. It was his decision to go there. But I signed up for it, and I had to do my best. That's just kind of the way I am. So I had to lead, you know, again, that group. There was a lot of people that wanted to up and leave, and I said, no, we signed up for this, guys. We need to follow it through. So that was the hardest, most difficult place. On the other hand, I saw things that I would have never been able to see. I'll never forget, my wife came down. So we had a guy that was our cook and our security, and he left early. He basically quit. And I called my wife and I said, hey, would you come down here and cook for us? And she came down and cooked. She was there for 6 weeks. She's a pretty blonde lady. And most people in Guyana have never seen a white woman with blonde hair. So that was a little scary. But to be able to experience that with my wife, you know, the jungle comes alive at night. There's fireflies and there's sounds. Mm-hmm. And so it was amazing to be able to experience that with my wife. And it was crazy. So it was extremely difficult, but it was also very rewarding to be able to say I spent 6 months and survived in a jungle setting. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that sounds like a great experience. So we've talked about a lot today. What do you hope the viewers and listeners take away from your journey?
Wow. Take away from my journey? I guess it would be, and I was thinking about this, what could I tell people? You know, one of your questions was, you know, entrepreneurship. I guess the takeaway would be, don't be afraid of failure. I feel like too many people are scared of failing in life. I tell you what, you know, that like you go back to the jungle in South America, we failed miserably. It was embarrassing, the amount of gold that we, you know, and whatever we pulled out of there. It was a abysmal failure, an epic failure. But I came back from that. I felt like a better person. I was like, okay, we failed. And after that, nobody knows this, but they fired me and they fired another cast member. And I was like, okay, all right, I'm going to go do my own things. And that's when Freddie Dodge and I started, we were going to start our own mining company. And we visited Nome, Alaska. We went to Fairbanks. We, you know, we traveled around looking for gold. And through the process, they, you know, Discovery Channel decided that, well, we probably could use Dave and the other cast member. And so, I mean, I came back, but I was like, all right, whatever. I mean, if I can do that, I can go out and do my own thing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, don't be afraid of failure. Sometimes when you fail, it's one of the best lessons. And that helps in business and in life, I feel.
Yeah. That's how you truly learn, is through failure.
Yeah.
My opinion also. So after all these years, if you could go back and give your younger self one piece of advice, and you may have just answered it, what would that be?
Well, that's part of it. It's part of don't be afraid of failure. The other part is I wish I would have enjoyed the ride a little bit more. If I would go back to the early years, growing up, my dad stressed production. You know, when you own a rock quarry, production, you're not going to get paid unless you produce something. And I brought that same mentality, that same drive to Gold Rush, because I felt like if we're doing a TV show about people gold mining, we better find some gold. And I was very driven, and I felt like everything I did, if I was going to survive on the show, I didn't want to worry about the TV. I wanted to worry about how do we get more gold? If we're going to have a TV show about gold, what's it going to take to get more gold? And because of that, my drive, my push, I offended a lot of the producers because I was like, get that camera out of my face. I need to go run that piece of machinery so I can go find some gold so we can do a TV show that's about gold.
Yeah.
And so I was constantly butting heads with the producers. So in retrospect, I guess one of my advice to me would be to enjoy the ride. You know,
yeah.
Again, I think it served me well because I was pushing hard to get more gold, but I should have enjoyed a little more of the ride.
Yeah. Yeah, that is great advice. To not take, I don't want to say not take things seriously, but not take it so seriously to the point that you haven't enjoyed what you've done.
Exactly. Exactly.
Great. Dave, this has been an awesome conversation. Like, this is like mark it off my bucket list type of conversation. Any parting thoughts before we head out of here?
No, I think we covered a lot, Eddie. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity. Whenever I get an opportunity to share, I hope it lights a fire, buddy. You know, sparks some emotion, sparks them to don't be afraid of failure, don't be afraid to risk things. So that's why I do it. You know, hopefully somebody will be inspired and help them do something amazing.
Amen. Well, again, Dave, I greatly appreciate you being gracious enough to respond back to my requests and, you know, to have this conversation with me and some others. And, I hope the best for your new episode, your new series that you're all working on. I'll definitely keep in touch to do what I can to help promote that. And I just can't wait to see it myself. But thanks again for all your time today. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you, Eddie.
You're welcome. So there you all have it. This finishes another episode of Constructive Conversations. Make sure to watch us on YouTube or wherever you get your podcast from. This is Eddie Thompson. Keep on building.